Phone. I'm a partner evangelist with Microsoft's U.S. developer and platform evangelism team. I'm based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and work with our dev partners in the East region. Joining me today for my team is Brian Johnson, a startup evangelist based in Orlando, Florida. And as this title suggests, Brian spends a great deal of his time working with our software startups in the East region as well. We'd like to welcome our guest today. Joining us is Dan Galvez, Peter Madsen, and Charlie Toronto of Hedgehog Development, a Microsoft Gold certified partner based in Holbrook, New York. Dan and Peter are managing partners, and Charlie's a senior architect at Hedgehog. Gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to our call.
Hey, thanks, John.
Dan and Peter, let's start with you guys. Can you give us a little bit of background on your company? Tell us a little bit about it, share with our listeners.
So this is Dan. We've been a Microsoft partner for several years now, and the company started really to focus on Microsoft-based technologies. We're predominantly a custom application development shop, and we focus on three things: the custom application development in the traditional way, but also intranets, and we use SharePoint for that, and we also do a lot of content-managed websites.
Very good. Excellent. So you've done some recent work in Azure. You've taken a look at Azure. You had a great customer opportunity that you got involved in, and just curious, can you tell us a little bit about a background in terms of your time and experience working with Azure? What steps did you take to basically prepare and get up to speed, or what steps did you get, you know, involved with in order to get your team prepared? That's one of the questions I receive a lot of times in working with partners. Geez, how do we think about it? How do we get our arms around it? How do we get prepared? How do we start, attacking the problem domain and then start pushing us out with our customers? What was your take on this?
So we actually got lucky. This was our second project. The first project was a little bit simpler from a cloud-based services. We used more of the storage side. It was a photo management website. We did a lot of the compute processing for managing the photos and converting photos and downsizing them on the cloud. So that was our first introduction. And then this latest project we did was more of what people think about a cloud, like a full-bore application running in Azure. We had the requirements around bursting and scaling. So we had all the different requirements that really fit the cloud from the traditional sense of that people think of it. We did a lot of things. There are a lot of resources available. The evangelist teams have been great in our local area, helping us with different resources. We're heavily involved in user groups in the area, so we got to take advantage of a lot of the community-based information that's out there on doing cloud services and getting started. So that's the big part of what we did, was a lot of that research and videos that are available online, some of the documentation online, and then take advantage of the community.
Charlie, as the architect on the team here that's working intimately with these projects, how was your individual efforts to basically come up to speed?
Things went pretty well. I found there was a lot of good information on blogs by Microsoft people who work on Azure. Lots of good information, some samples on CodePlex and things like that. So I was able to get up to speed pretty quickly. The developer fabric that you download, plus the Visual Studio add-in that Microsoft offers for working with the cloud, works great. So, I was really happy that I was able to get up to speed on that pretty quickly. And what we found is that when we pushed our application to the cloud, the developer fabric was a really good approximation of what the cloud was going to be like. So it just worked, first time.
Awesome.
It was really nice.
You made a really good point there. You said about some good information on the blogs. And of course, there's a lot of people blogging about Azure development today, but I recently put a post out there. I get a lot of questions at times, where can I find this? How do I find this? Where's the best place to look? And many times I use the same resources as you guys, because all that information is public. There's no scrubbing that has to be involved or anything like that. And I think one of the most underutilized resources, in my opinion, is our blogs.msdn.com. With well over 7,000 blogs out there today, there's just a wealth of information in addition to the specific product team sites, like the Azure group, right, who's blogging. There's a lot of, like myself, evangelists out there who are blogging and share a lot of information. So I think it's a great point that you pointed out, pulling information from blogs as one of the ways to help expedite your learning process. So maybe I'll toss this one out to Peter. So Peter, in talking with customers, where are you finding the greatest interest in cloud computing today?
Around the scalability, I think, is probably the biggest
interest in using the cloud services. As Dan mentioned, the particular client that we were working on, they were doing a large-scale application that had a very short shelf life, so to speak. It's for a worldwide event that has a very short lifetime, and so they were expecting this application to come up running, you know, with a very high demand for a very short time frame, and then fall off. So the Azure Cloud Services was really a perfect fit from that perspective, because we knew that we could scale up the, you know, from a hardware perspective very quickly and very easily, and then throttle it back down once the demand dropped off.
Very good. And so what about you as well, Dan? I know you're out there, you know, quite a bit working with your customers directly. When you're out there speaking with them and talking about Azure, is it something that they mentioned first, or is it something that you generally introduce to them as an alternative approach to some of the applications that they're thinking about?
I think people are still set in their ways around thinking about traditional infrastructure. And we've been talking to a lot of customers. We have one currently that we're talking to who has a retail-based software system that they're developing, who's going to have those cyclical cycles where they go through and have bursts in traffic and bursts in demand on their application. And they were thinking about how they're going to get the investment capital to design an infrastructure that can handle those peak loads or what they're going to do during those peak loads. And we brought to them the idea of taking advantage of the computing power of the Azure Cloud and how that would fit into the infrastructure, and especially they're also a startup, so how that would fit in from a startup standpoint to help keep the cost low in the beginning phases of the architecture, and then also allow them to scale around successes that they have.
Peripheral edges of the most recent project that you undertook, for NDA purposes, we can't really divulge who that is. But I wanted to get perspective from you in terms of a bit of background on your first project. You know, how did this project present itself? You know, how did you see yourself responding to it? And how did you basically come to the decision that, hey, Azure is the right solution for this?
This is Pete. Like I said before, the client actually came to us, and this was a Facebook application. Excuse me. This was a Facebook application for a large-scale worldwide event that was going to have a very short shelf life. And the customer presented us with a couple of technology demands. The first demand and the main demand really was the fact that they wanted this to be a .NET solution. So it fit right in our niche skill set, obviously. The second demand that they presented to us was the fact that they didn't want to really invest heavily in any sort of infrastructure, and they were expecting, you know, a heavy load over a very short period of time. And since this was a worldwide event, they were also expecting the demand to be spread out, you know, across the entire globe and not just locally to one specific region. So for us, the cloud services seemed to present the perfect fit to satisfy those requirements. Once we explained to them how cloud services work and how it would satisfy their needs, they were right on board with it. They thought it was a great idea, and so we jumped head first into the water with it.
That's interesting. So were they surprised when you came back with a cloud solution, going, geez, we never thought of it in that context, or was it something that they maybe entertained and were happy to see that you came back and suggested cloud? And I asked that question primarily for the fact that, you know, this is really cloud computing has represented a paradigm shift in how we start thinking about designing applications. And for the points that you mentioned, capital costs, investments up front, it was a short-term solution that had to scale very quickly based on expected high-demand efforts and so forth. But I was wondering if the customer that you were speaking with had thought that cloud computing was even a possibility for this. Or was it something that you introduced and they went, hey, that's a great idea, and didn't think of it that way?
Well, like Charlie had mentioned before, you know, cloud computing is really the buzzword that everybody is talking about. So the client was well aware of what cloud computing could do. I think they were really surprised to learn that it was more than just a storage solution, that it was an opportunity to build a full-scale application and run the entire application in the cloud. And once we presented that solution to them, they were right on board with it.
That's great. So there are no pushbacks, so which is great to hear. And you guys were able to go at it full bore. So how much lead time did you have to basically get this thing up and running?
We had a very, very short lead time. The project came to us in the middle of December, and we really had to hit the ground running to get going with this application because of the nature of the event.
And so what can you tell me about some of the biggest challenges that you faced and some of the unexpected positives, you know, the things that you were, you know, quite pleased with in terms of your overall experience? Just give me, just kind of fill me in, and probably Charlie, this is going to be a big part of yours as well. You can provide me sort of the technical perspective, Peter and Dan, the customer relationship perspective. As things were going, you were faced with a lot here. You had to learn, if you hadn't done it before, the Facebook development effort, integration with Facebook, as well as taking on a platform to a greater level of detail on your second trip with Azure today. So give me kind of the good and the bad of the technical experience, as well as the good and the bad with the customer experience. Was there tension, tough times, you know, doubts?
Well, the good and the bad with the technical side of things was, you know, first the good, as I said before, the developer fabric, it just worked, which was great. And it was a really accurate representation of what would happen in the cloud. So that was really nice. So I was able to develop things locally in, you know, Visual Studio, the whole development environments that I'm so used to, and it all just worked.
I remember, this is Pete, I remember Charlie and I were sitting around, and we were deploying the very first time to the cloud, and we were literally sitting on the edges of our seats as the cloud services were coming up, and we were thinking, there's no way this is going to work. And then when we got green lights and we could log into the application, we just looked at each other like, wow, this just worked perfectly first time out of the gate, and we were really, really happy.
Yeah, that was a real big relief on our part when, like I said, it just worked. So that was really nice. You know, the services and you know, everything was reasonably well documented. So that was real easy to get through, pushing things out. The bad parts, the two things that I found that were somewhat problematic with the, you know, with the cloud was getting your configuration right, the cloud configuration correct. We had a couple of rounds of going about with that, and trying to get that exactly the way it's supposed to be. Once we got that, things came up and it worked beautifully. The other thing that was a big concern of mine was monitoring the application itself in the cloud. That stuff is somewhat immature at this point from the cloud offering side. So I didn't want to have a situation where I got a call from the client saying, well, our users are saying it's slow. I wanted to be more proactive on that. Also, if there were any kind of errors or things like that the application was generating, I wanted to find out how to do that. And the cloud does provide some really basic stuff for doing that, but we had to develop our own solution to make that a little easier.
So this is Brian. I haven't said anything this whole podcast, which is really surprising for most people. Anyway, tell me a little bit about how you did your debugging and your analysis of your traffic and stuff like that. Was it were you able to develop tools that helped you out with this?
Well, yeah. One of the things that the cloud offers is the ability to specify a location in the table storage to store the Azure traces or the Azure diagnostic stuff, the Windows application log, which would show, for example, what ASP is doing if there's a problem, and also performance counters. So we set up our application to push those things to the storage through the facilities that Azure offers, and then I wrote some software which would go in and let me, from my desk, log in, download the latest batch of, say, performance counters or application log entries, and then in the case of performance counters, graph them, and I could watch my CPU loading. I could look for things like queued requests, you know, on the ASP side, which would allow me to determine that, oh, I need to add another server, and then I could add another server relatively rapidly through the cloud.
And here's the cool part. You have made this application available.
Yes, it's on CodePlex.
So, and this is called the Cloud Application Monitor. This thing looks fantastic for somebody who wants to kind of track what their Azure applications are doing and, you know, kind of find out the performance, data around their applications and things like that. So how does that actually run then? Once you get this thing, like once I download this application, how do I use it?
Well, one of the things to remember is that this was done, you know, very quick and dirty. We were under a very, very tight time frame for getting this done. So I haven't been able to spend time to flesh out installers and things like that. Essentially, you download the source, you build it, and there's a configuration screen. You need a local SQL Server database, and you need your connection strings and keys and whatnot to get to the cloud storage. Once you put that stuff in, it will start up with a background thread pulling things down out of the cloud into your local SQL Server. And then you can go to the various screens and, you know, look at the graphs and choose which performance counters you downloaded that you want to graph, things like that. You know,
so you can leave this running
off of standard NT performance counters. You know, you choose your color, you choose your multiplier, things like that.
Yeah, so you can leave this running then, and you can get, you know, all your data overnight, everything?
Yep.
Oh, that's just great.
Yeah, I think it's pretty awesome. I think if we can talk Charlie into it, Brian, we might have to do another session just to talk about the CodePlex.
Just to talk about that, yeah.
It would help our folks, help you to basically evolve this and to take advantage of it to help them with their applications. Because I agree with you. You know, you mentioned it in the, before in the talk here that you know, it's a little bit uncomfortable. And as Peter said, you sit on the edge of your seat. Is this thing going to work? Is it not going to work? And then when it's up there running and it's kind of right now because of the tools evolution is not quite there yet in terms of once it's running, geez, how do I get that sort of comfort feeling as an architect, as a developer, as an owner of a project that you have to report to your customer? Is this thing going to behave the way I want it to? Is it going to do exactly what the thing that I want it to do? I think this is great, and a lot of people are going to benefit from the work that you put forward here. So that's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Very good. So, yeah, so Charlie, keep that in mind. We're going to come back to you probably and ask you to do a little bit of a deeper dive on this going forward.
Great.
So where would you like to take this project next in terms of the CodePlex project that you're working on here? Do you see yourself spending more time evolving it, or are you going to kind of throw it out there, hope that people, you know, take and download it, use it, give you feedback? I suspect you're going to probably evolve it for the next Azure project that you're going to work on.
Yeah, right now one of the downsides to the project is we have to code into the startup of the various roles which, say, performance counters we want, or if you want a log or something like that, and it's deployed with the app. There is a way from what I've seen in some of the videos and things that you can tell the cloud, hey, start sending me this or start recording this information, and it'll start picking it up and doing that. And that was the next big thing that I wanted to be able to put in there, was the ability to turn things off and on without actually doing a deployment. I haven't looked into it too much, just lack of time.
So your go ahead. Sorry. I'm sorry.
This is our second CodePlex project that we released, and the other one is a process template for Team Foundation Server for doing development for Sitecore, which is a content management system that we do a lot of work on. And the thing that's worked best for us as a service-based business is be able to go to our customers and suggest that they use this as we do knowledge transfer or do turnover. That's where we get the majority of our feedback, is from introducing it to our customers and getting their impact. And I think that with this application monitor tool, this is something we'll roll out to our customers also and allow them to watch performance of their Azure-based solutions and get feedback on features and what kind of things that their IT support teams are going to need in order to watch and make sure they can manage that infrastructure.
And it's called again, the Visual Studio add-in. What did you call it?
It's a process template for a Visual Studio team system, and it's a Team Foundation Server.
And it's posted on CodePlex as well?
Yep, yeah.
And where can I find it?
It's
CodePlex.com/...
I think it's Sitecore process template, something along those lines.
And it's S-I-T-E-C-O-R-E?
Yeah, S-I-T-E-C-O-R-E, yeah. And it's customized. We customized the work items to fit with content management-based development. We created some proprietary reports, or some reports that we included in there for being able to handle releases and be able to tell what manage releases. And it actually ties into a commercial piece of software we created that we sell on the market for developing in Visual Studio for Sitecore. So we open source the process template, and we sell commercially a product that allows you to put your Sitecore items under source control.
Tremendous. Tremendous. That's excellent. So I'm sure this is a question everybody's waiting to hear the answer on. So your application's live and in production today, correct?
Yep.
And yes. How's it going? It's kind of a loaded question. I really don't know the answer because we haven't really had the opportunity to sync up since this went live, and I know it was under a short time frame, and I was just excited to know that you were doing this. So how's it going?
The application's it's running well. You know, we're seeing reasonable loads on it, and we're pretty happy with it. The client seems to be pretty happy with it as well. You know, we check it periodically over the course of the day. The response time and performance is great.
I know that I have subscribed to it, and I'm seeing on Facebook, and I'm seeing a good response rate, and I'm seeing my periodic emails every day. So it's very well done. My opinion, my professional opinion, I haven't experienced any negative experience with it whatsoever. So it's just, to me, working great. So congratulations to you guys.
Great, thank you.
Hey, and so can I jump in real quick with Ben, if we're going to sort of switch gears a little bit.
Yes, you bet.
And ask you about, I kind of do the BizSpark program in the East Coast, and so I work with a lot of startup companies that basically they have this great idea for a piece of software. They don't have the development team that they need to kind of build that software out, and that's where a company like yours comes into play. Can you kind of describe the process, and maybe are you working with any BizSpark companies that you could mention?
See, if we've been a network partner for, I guess, probably a year and a half, 2 years now type of thing. We started it with Hedgehog, and then also we founded the local user group, the .NET user group, Long Island .NET users group, to be exact. And so in combination with the Hedgehog and what we provide our services, we also have it out there and available to community. So we've had a number of different BizSpark startups that we've worked with to get them into the program and also help from a user group with education and providing an avenue for resources, so from freelancers and consulting groups like ours that are part of the user group. But then also from a development standpoint, we work with some partners. So we're currently working with one company right now who's a great example. They're called Club Card. It's a loyalty program, and they're kind of in the startup stages right now. We're helping them design out their website and their application, and part of their application is going to be high volumes of data and high volumes of traffic, especially around the holiday seasons and the special events around shopping. And they're a perfect candidate for looking at the cloud services and how that could be applied to them, especially as they're a startup and they're growing, but their projections and their business model is going to be designed around them growing very quickly. So looking at how we could design their solution to be scalable, and the BizSpark program is working great for what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. So how's the Club Card project going then?
It's going good right now. We're initially working with a design partner to come up with the visual side and all the branding. We're taking care of the architecture, so we're working with the CIO over there to design out what they're going to need from their website to the transaction and back office. So we're still in that design stage, but being able to know that they can take advantage of Microsoft technology and not necessarily have that huge cash outlay for licensing made it real easy for them to standardize on Microsoft technology from the start.
Yeah. That's kind of the big draw for companies that are just getting started is just being able to have kind of a no cost, you know, you can hit the ground running. The part that I think is interesting too is when I talk to the startups though, is, you know, hey, we can't really do this part of development, but do you know people who can? And the answer, yeah, we do. We have Microsoft partners who can do this work for you. And basically, once they start to get funded, they can afford to hire really good top software firms to build out some of the features that they maybe don't have the domain experience with right away. So I think this is kind of it's sort of the epitome of what our partner program is all about. It's like we can get you off the ground running once you get some funding for your company and that kind of thing. We can get you, you know, in touch with Microsoft partners who can help you finish out your project or, you know, that kind of thing and really, be able to kind of nail it. So I think this is great.
Yeah, I think that the BizSpark program is fantastic. You know, along with, you know, this cost savings and things like that, it really looks great for a startup when they are going for capital to show that they do have the ability to use a mature platform and be able to work with the whole partner ecosystem and not have to use glue and duct tape to put together their solutions because they're trying to save money. I think it's been a great thing, and we've heard from several of the startups in the past that be able to define and show within their proposals for getting equity that they have this ability to do this and be part of this program. It's been a real big push for people investing in them.
Yeah, and then just for people who don't know, for information about the BizSpark program, you can go to Microsoft.com/BizSpark. Basically, if you want to sign up for the program, you can find a network partner, or you can just apply for the program. You can also drop me a note at BrianJoe@Microsoft.com, and I can help you out with that. But then your club card site, I just want to get the URL out there. It's jointheclub.com.
Yeah, so this is just an initial teaser site where they're putting names and stuff like that. Over the next month or 6 weeks, something like that, we're going to be rolling out the first phase of the project.
And so the idea is if I have a business and I want to create a club card for my business, I can come here and start a loyalty program around my own company. Is that
how they work with large national retailers?
Okay.
You know, the big retailers that you would think of, and they provide the whole infrastructure around the whole loyalty program. A big part of their business is these guys just really understand retail, they understand loyalty, and they're taking all that intelligence and putting it into a software-based solution.
Right. Well, that's great.
So, Dan, Peter, Charlie, I think our call is coming to an end here. I just want to take a minute to thank the three of you for your commitment to the Microsoft platform, to the Microsoft Partner Program, and to setting a great example as a network partner within the BizSpark program itself. And this has been wonderful information that I hope that a lot of our listeners be able to benefit from. How can folks get in touch with you if there's interest in learning more about Hedgehog's work or skills or capabilities? Where would they, who would they reach out to?
So you can make an email info@hhogdev.com, and that's our website also is www.hhogdev.com.
So that's two H's, right? hhogdev.com. And
correct.
You would email info@hhogdev.com. Very good. Well, guys, thank you very much for joining us. I look forward to doing this again with you. Good luck with your continued efforts of evolving the application that you developed for your customer with Azure and the work that you're doing with ClubCard. Charlie, we hope to do another session with you down the road to talk about your CodePlex project. I'm sure a lot of people are interested in some of the details of that. And then last but not least, we're anxious to hear more about the success that you're going to have with your ClubCard project. So thank you very much for joining us. You have a great day.
You too.
Thank you.